another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, January the 3rd. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness here today. Happy New Year. We have made it into January. We have done the turn. We continue to work our way through the Christmas season. We do not end the Christmas season with this feast day that we are celebrating this weekend, the Feast of the Epiphany. We actually end it on the feast day that we are going to be celebrating next weekend. And we'll talk about that next weekend. But we continue to journey. And journey is the right word. I know that sounds like such a, religious, word to use, journey. But really, it is journey, as we're going to see in our readings today, particularly our gospel. We continue to journey through this Christmas season in search of our God, and to pay homage to that newborn King within our world and within our lives. And so, on this Feast of the Epiphany, we are going to hear from Isaiah. In fact, Isaiah, wonderful reading. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 6. Very familiar. You're going to remember it. We pretty much hear this one every Epiphany. And we also hear the gospel pretty much every Epiphany. A lot of times we'll switch and hear different versions of a story. But Matthew's is the only gospel that carries this story. And so it's Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. So for those of you who like to follow along. But what I invite you to do, because both of these readings are very familiar, in a sense they can become too familiar. I invite you to hear them with new ears, a new mind, a new being, if you are able to do so. But they're so good. And there's so much here. So with that, brothers and sisters, however it is you prepare yourself, you open yourself, you ready yourself to receive God's word well, I invite you to do that at this time. And let's break open God's word together, shall we? A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears God's glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes and look about. They all gather and come to you. Your sons from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you. Dromedaries from Midian and Ephah, all from Sheba shall come, bearing gold and frankincense, and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And as always, my friends, if you found in the hearing of that reading something that struck you, in whatever way that is, I invite you to sit with that well and allow the Spirit of God to speak, to work within you, to do the work that the Spirit needs to do. And just chew on that thought, that idea, that image, whatever that is, okay? Let's break open the gospel together. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, For thus it has been written through the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage. After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So, again, let's start with the first reading. These readings, they have so much in them, and I don't want to try to hit everything, one, because I won't be able to, two, because then it's just going to be scattershot, and I think that doesn't really help anyone. But I really love the imagery that Isaiah is using. He's contrasting light and darkness, right? Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem, your light has come. But what he does is he says, listen, see, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. If Isaiah were living today, would he not be able to say the same thing? I think it's true, and maybe it's always been true. Maybe it always is true. See, my friends, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. Human existence can be a wearisome task, right? It isn't darkness, but it has moments of darkness within it. And thick clouds, we can be carrying the weight of the world with us on occasion. And there are points in time, and maybe, you know, depending on where one lives or what one is going through, those thick clouds cover more than me individually, and that darkness is more than I'm simply carrying. But maybe a people is carrying it. Maybe a tribe or a region or whatever that would look like. But the darkness is a reality in this world, and depression and regret and despair and hurting and grief, because death and anxiety are realities in our world. And so we carry darkness, brothers and sisters. But the good news that Isaiah is bringing is saying, see, you know, rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. So he's not just talking to an individual. He's not just saying, rise up in splendor, you know, Barbara. He's saying, rise up in splendor, you, a people, a region. Rise up. Why? Because your light has come. Now, he's speaking to Jerusalem specifically because the people have come home from the Babylonian exile. Remember in Advent, they were all in exile, like 4 weeks in a row. We were talking about people being in exile. Now, following Christmas, following the incarnation, following that great union, that great connecting of heaven and earth, he's saying, no longer are we in exile. No longer do we need to be carrying that darkness and the clouds. He said, our light has come. It has come. And, okay, so what are the repercussions of that? Upon you, meaning this region, these peoples, but yes, us individually, upon you that light shines, and over you appears this glory, that our God gives because we are no longer separated. God is no longer distant. And then he gives us our mission based on that. It isn't just, hey, awesome. You know, God is present. How fantastic. We're out of exile. He says, no. Now, remember how I said earlier that dark clouds cover the peoples? And thick clouds and darkness covers the earth? Well, now nations are going to need that light. And where are they going to look to? They're going to look to you and I. They're going to look to this people. They're going to look to this region. They're going to look to all those who have said, yes, I get it. I get it. It doesn't mean, brothers and sisters, that death is no more. It doesn't mean that anxiety doesn't come. It doesn't mean that there are moments of despair and depression within our lives, individually or within the life of our people, our tribe, our region. But it means, brothers and sisters, that no longer is that the defining characteristic, that exile. But instead, our God has come and light has shone, and nations and kings are going to walk by that shining radiance because they can't see it. They need to see it in and through us as a people. And that's a whole lot of responsibility to carry individually, and we cannot. But we are part of a people, and we carry it in conjunction with others. Brothers and sisters, I mean, that's the mission we're on. It's the mission in our baptism that our parents and our godparents said yes to, and in our confirmation we said yes to. But that we are called to open ourselves and follow this light so that others may see, as Matthew says, right, later, not in today's gospel in chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, so that they may see God's goodness within us and give glory to God. We carry that light by being who God made us to be. But not by allowing those clouds and that darkness to cover us at times and thick clouds to be over us, but to not be defined by that. That we are no longer people in exile, brothers and sisters, but that great union that we celebrated last week, that incarnation, that God loves us that much, that God would come to be part of us, that still is part of who we are and what we carry as well. We carry that light. And of course, that image of light is in the gospel as well, right? I mean, it's everywhere. And it uses the star as the image. And so I won't go through the whole story. We've heard it 100 times. But I think it's important that we hear it in a sense anew. I think it's easy with our nativity sets to set up kings, you know, walking. And I don't know that they were kings or queens. They were seekers. They were magi. They were astrologers. They were people that ascertained the signs and had the courage to say, I have no idea what this sign means, but it portends goodness. Something new is being born, and I need to follow that with no idea of what I'm going to find at the end of that journey, but I simply need to open myself to whatever it is that life has for me, that God has waiting at the end of this sign. Are we people, individuals and a community that can open ourselves to something new? And when it comes, to be able to set forth and say, I don't know what's at the end of this journey, because it is a journey. I don't know what is at the end of it, but I simply trust God enough to say, whatever that is, I need to be looking, and I need to be seeking, and I need to be following, because I trust the one who is leading me, even though I don't know where that goes. That's what they were doing. They had no idea they were coming to see a baby. They had no idea they were coming to see a newborn king, one that would rule all peoples. They simply knew that the heavens were saying, something is happening. Can we read the signs of our times, the signs of nature, the signs of the heavens, the signs of the actions of the world, and say something new is happening, and have the courage to move out of our routines? I'm not saying let's pack up and go somewhere new, unless that's where God calls you. But I'm saying even busting out of our routines that we live daily by and living somehow anew, and open ourselves to the ridicule that that would bring. Because yes, there's no doubt they incurred ridicule. But they trusted and they followed. And here's my, brothers and sisters, it's so wonderful that in our nativities and our nativity plays and in our churches, we have those big nativity sets, and there's a star up there and the light shines directly on the stable, or in Matthew's case here, the house. But it couldn't have been so easy, right? You and I have looked up at stars all our life. It's not easy to tell which star is shining over which house, huh? It looks to be shining over a whole region, a whole countryside. Again, what they did was an act of incredible faith. And they had to ask Herod, okay, Herod, where is this newborn going to be brought to us? Where is this? When they entered the country. And Herod didn't know. I mean, he's the king, but he's, you know, not well versed in that. So he calls together all the religious and scholars and says, okay, where is it? And they read Micah, right? Which we read 2 weeks ago. And they said, Bethlehem, the least of these, that's the one that's going to lift it. And so the kings went off. The kings, I just called them kings, the magi, the seekers, those who were trusting the signs of the times, went off. But Herod didn't go off with them, and the religious scholars didn't go off with them, saying, hey, this is incredible, let's go with them. Something new is happening. You know they stayed behind saying, look at these country bumpkins. They don't know anything. Let's send them off. They're Gentiles, by the way. They're not Jews. Let's send them off there on their wild goose chase. They have no idea what they're looking for. They simply wanted to know what the scripture said. We told them. But they didn't trust them enough to say, I want to join you. Brothers and sisters, I think that's the warning, at least for me, when I hear these, is how do I open myself to God coming in a new way? And when people who I think might be outsiders, people who I might think carry no knowledge or nothing for me to learn from, come through my life, and I might point them in the right direction but simply shake my head and stay where I am, do I miss out on God being born anew within my life and within the world? Am I able to open myself to new ways of thinking and being and coming to me through people who I think may carry nothing for me or nothing for the world? Because that's exactly what happened. That scares me. And then they come in and they offer their gifts. They find this newborn and they do homage. And they kneel before and offer their gifts, which in this case happen to be gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We typically think of three magi because there are three gifts, but we don't know. There could have been more, could have been one. We don't know. It's plural, so it's more than one, I guess. They offer. But however many there were, they offered their gifts, and upon meeting this Christ, upon meeting this gift, upon meeting this way that God spoke to them anew, they went home differently, right? It says they went home by another way. Because how can we not do that once we meet God anew in our life? How can we not be new? And so I guess the last question I would ponder, invite you to chew on as we move into prayer, is this. Were you to meet the God of the universe today in a new way and be surprised like these were, an epiphany, an awakening? What gift do you bring, my friends? What gift do I bring? And what is it that we would lay before our God this day and say, this is yours. This is yours. Let's pray. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The fourth joyful mystery, the presentation at the temple. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, bless you. Thank you for, again, being with me. I'm just grateful for that and honored and humbled for that. May your week ahead be filled with light and every good blessing. Be well.